It was then that I realized that the love of God was a real thing. Because you can read about the love of God, you can hear about the love of God, they can tell you, they can sing it, they can preach it. But until another human demonstrates it to you, it's not palpable. So I came to Jesus out of fear, but I stayed because of love.
Love God, love your neighbor. Jesus said those were the two greatest commandments. And there's a reason, well, probably many reasons, that Jesus calls us to love those around us. For Darren Mulligan, it was the Christ-like love of his wife that not only drew him in, but kept him in a relationship with Jesus. Today, the outflow of that love looks like Darren and his band traveling the world, encouraging audiences with their music. Our guest, who you will quickly realize is Irish, is the frontman for the Christian band We Are Messengers. Their latest album is called Where the Joy Is. We think as you listen, you'll find the joy is in Darren's heart, and he would love to share it with you.
Well, Darren, welcome to the conversation this morning.
Yeah, delighted to be here. Thanks for having me.
You're in Ireland as we speak.
Yeah, I'm up in the northern part of Ireland here. I just got out to the house. I lit a wee fire inside for the family, and I came out, and I just love being out in the wild, you know, really do.
That's awesome. You're with We Are Messengers, and we're going to have a great conversation today, talking about lots of things about music. Yeah, just to dive into you for a little bit here. First, you at one point felt God led you to come and live in America, but you've since more recently felt led back to Ireland. Talk about that transition.
Yeah, it's been an incredible journey. You know, we moved out to Nashville probably about 9.5 years ago. Mm-hmm. And we feel called to America in a very evangelical way. Like, we feel that God has called us to America to be good news, to share good news, and that ultimate good news being the way of Jesus. You know, I've prayed for many years that God would sometime let us move home, to be at home with our family. And, you know, we're back in our little church that both of us came to know Jesus in. The door opened up last year for us to do that. And so we moved back to this tiny wee cottage. These are the hills behind me, just that we live in, you know.
Love it.
So it's wild and rugged. Wow. And for us, it was an opportunity to live in the place that we love, with the people that know us the most, and to always keep America where it was designed to be in our lives, which was a place where we could go, tell the truth about the gospel, share the gospel unapologetically, and not be caught up in politics or not be caught up in pandering to maintain a career. America was always a place we were called to go to a cold face and help remind others that the news of Jesus is free, that he is available for everyone, no matter where you've been, where you're from, what you've done. And moving home has honestly set a fire in us. And so I get to come back to America without any other agenda than to spread joy, hope, and remind people that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. There's no other way to heaven than through the King.
Amen. Yeah, I thought maybe you wanted to go back home to kind of refresh your accent a little bit. Maybe you're starting to lose it in America.
I probably was. Actually, last week we were out in Australia and New Zealand, so we were touring out there with the band, and you know, it was nice for people to recognize me as being Irish again. So I think my accent has thickened up rightly in the last little while.
That's awesome. Yeah. Before we get more into you as an artist and We Are Messengers as a group, we'd love to get to know you a little bit as a brother in Christ and hear your faith journey, how you came to know and love Jesus.
Yeah. Well, just going back to, you know, that little church that we're part of now again in my hometown of Monaghan in Ireland. I came to know Jesus probably about 16 or 17 years ago. At the time, I was an atheist. My girlfriend, my long-term girlfriend, both of us had no walk with Jesus, no interest in Jesus. I was living a very promiscuous lifestyle. I did a great many things that I'm utterly ashamed of. But at the time, my girlfriend had this radical encounter with Jesus. That was around 2006. And she came to follow him. And I just watched that change in her life and the transformation in her life. And it was really attractive to me. And a few weeks before we got married, I remember coming to Jesus in Monaghan Elam Church. In our hometown, I came to Jesus because I knew God was real, and I was afraid. I was afraid of him because the things I had done, you know, my sin condemned me. You know, it was about a year after we got married that God told me to tell my wife everything I had ever done. And so I told her about, you know, affairs and promiscuity and things like that. And she forgave me. And it was then that I realized that the love of God was a real thing. Because you can read about the love of God, you can hear about the love of God, they can tell you, they can sing it, they can preach it, but until another human demonstrates it to you, it's not palpable. And so I came to Jesus out of fear, but I stayed because of love. That's a very concise, abbreviated
love
version
it.
Of my
No,
story.
I absolutely love it. That last statement, that's so true of me. Like, it wasn't so much even the fear of hell or the hope of heaven that drew me passionately to Jesus. It was the love. I remember walking around for weeks and months after I came to know Jesus, just thinking, man, that he could have done that for me. Like, the reality of the sacrifice that he paid for me blew me away, and haven't gotten over it to this day. It's good.
I think that's what I'm trying to articulate about, you know, the difference between knowing about it and understanding is a personal encounter with Jesus through other people, predominantly. That's the vehicle Jesus uses.
Absolutely.
But it is the kindness of God that draws men and women onto repentance. And so kindness took me from fear and brought me into the arms of love. And that's where I've stayed to this day. And I have messed this thing up 1,000 times since then. There's no point in pretending I'm some holier than thou guy, because I'm not. I'm a messy man in need of the mercy of God every day. And thankfully, he is true to his word. So it is available to me and you and anyone listening.
Amen. So good. Darren, where did music come in? When did music come in? Was that pre-Jesus, after Jesus?
No, before, long before I knew Jesus even existed, I had a love for music. You know, let me see, I might lose my coverage, but I want to show you. So there's these hills over here behind up here. That's on the top of that mountain. My father grew up in a one-room stone house, and my father loved music. My mother loved music. When he was a young man and I was only one, he had a Sunburst Gibson acoustic guitar, and he fancied himself as a bit of an Elvis Presley, you know? And he sold that guitar because it just didn't have the ends, you know, the means to make ends meet for a family. And so he bought food with that. And I never saw my dad with that guitar. I just saw pictures of it, you know? And when I was 13, my mother and father, when they had a little bit of money, they didn't buy themselves another guitar. They bought me a guitar. And isn't that just like Jesus? You know, they gave of themselves for me. And I fell in love with music. I watched them in the kitchen dancing in the tough times and the hard times. And I played that wee guitar morning, noon, and night. Yeah, I played in rock and roll bands all through my teenage years. And funny, when I came to Jesus, I sold all my guitars. I told him I'd never play music again. Said I didn't want it because I associated music with the mistakes I had made, you know. And a couple of years in, you know, Jesus brought me onto a wee worship team in our church. Then they needed a singer at a little youth conference, and I had never sang, and I was 27, and I said, well, I can try. And then we went and traveled around Ireland at the weekends telling people about Jesus. No money, no record labels, no applause, just hard, gritty evangelism. And it was beautiful. And one day in 2014, I was sitting outside my oldest son's school, and I told God out loud, I prayed it out loud, dude, it's as real as we're talking. This is what happened. Sitting in my car, I said, Jesus, I don't need it, music anymore. I just want you. And the next day, Josh Bailey, who was the head of Warner Brothers Christian Division in Nashville, called me, and they offered me a record deal a week later. And we didn't want it. But God was very clear. And so we followed Jesus to Nashville. And we have toured the world ever since. And the long story short is that my dad grew up in that house. That little guitar is why I started music. And 3 months ago, my little brother, who my wife led to Jesus after she led me to Jesus, led my mother and father to Jesus. And they come to church. So there were 3 generations of mulligans, my kids, my family, my brothers, my sister, my mom and dad, all worshiping in this little church because God is faithful.
That's what a great story. That was just 3 months ago?
3 months ago. Yeah, 76 years old. It's funny because people always interview me, but I always feel like they're interviewing the wrong person. My story is the result of multiple other people's interventions in my life. And that's how Jesus works.
Amen.
God is always at work among us.
Families Together, a ministry of Christian Heritage, helps support parents in crisis by building connections and providing care for children. Last fall, a family completed the Families Together host home training. Shortly afterward, Christian Heritage received a call from a young mom who was entering an inpatient substance abuse treatment program and needed someone to care for her 6-month-old son for 8 weeks. Christian Heritage called the family, who said yes to taking in the woman's son. Their next call was to form a care community to provide support for the family as they became a host home. As mom has worked toward becoming healthy, her baby has been safe and cared for through this host home and their care community, which has helped meet needs and provide transportation so this baby boy can see his mom multiple times a week. Now, as mom approaches graduation, she has a community through Families Together who will continue to support her on her healing journey. God is on the move through Families Together and Christian Heritage as they help support parents in crisis by building connections and providing care for children. God is doing something
right now. MyBridge Radio, celebrating God at work among us. Share your story and join the conversation in the Connect Now section at MyBridgeRadio.net.
So, Darren, one of the songs that we've kind of jumped on early and we've been playing is called God Be the Glory. I would love to hear kind of the heart behind it, where that story came from.
Yeah, it's just, again, it's that new season. It's been 2 years in the making, that album. And God Be the Glory is one of the standout songs. For me, I've been trying to reconcile what all the suffering is for, what all the disappointment is for, what all of the heartache is for. It's very simple. I've realized that all of it finds its purpose and its meaning in God. And so at the core of who we are as a band and who I am as a man is this idea that everything that happens in your life and in mine is for God's glory and my good. And sometimes in America particularly, we try to avoid suffering. You know, we try to medicate our pain away. You know, our whole lives are spent trying to avoid the inevitable, which is death, disease, sickness, sorrow, all those things. And I have realized that those things, if you can see Jesus in them, don't just become burdens that haunt us. They actually become the vehicles for transporting us to the joy of the Lord. Mm-hmm. So for his glory and my good, to God be the glory forever and ever. Amen. It's not some trite statement. It's a statement from a man whose feet have been turned from mourning toward dancing. Mm-hmm. I've lived it. I understand it. I know it to be true. And so even in the dead of night, when the ground's shaking, when it's all trembling, my hope is not in me or my band or my career. My hope is in Jesus, crucified, risen, alive, for his glory and for my good.
So good. Typically on an album, there's the songs that get released right away. There's songs that get released eventually, but then there's some songs that never get released. But is there a song on the album that you would go, man, this may be a sleeper, may not ever be released, but man, I'm telling you, you don't want to miss this one. I just feel like there's something special about this song.
I love that question because most people don't ask that. There's a song on it that I wrote just in the room, just like through the window there on my wee acoustic guitar. And it's called Worthy of Being Loved. Mm. And the song is a song for people who are wrestling with suicide. And it's encouraging them not to quit, not to give up, reminding them that they're not the only ones that feel this way and that Jesus is not absent in all of this. And that if they can hold on and endure, they'll look back and they will see the goodness of God in all of this. And so when we filmed the video for it on the Staten Island Ferry in New York, and I remember going down in the boat just on the Staten Island Ferry, singing this song, and there's a bunch of bystanders there, whatever, behind me, and it just choked me up. I couldn't. There's even a line in the song where it talks about the birds in the sky, and I'm on the ferry and I look up and there's a flock of seagulls flying right beside me.
Wow.
And it's kind of that idea that, where can I go that I can escape you, Lord? There's nowhere I can run. There's nowhere I can hide. Not even in the depths of Sheol can God not reach me. And so even in the depths of your depression and your anxiety and your suicidal ideation, Christ is there. Christ is able. But our role in all of that is just holding on, even when it gets real, real hard. You know, I know I talk a lot, but I talk a lot not because I'm trying to fill space, but because I write songs about life and death and the in-between. These things really matter to me. These songs really matter to me because the people that these songs are for really matter to me. I wanted our songs to be lifeboats, not lifeboats that bring you to Jesus, because every man, woman's got to go to Jesus on their own through the finished work of Christ, but lifeboats that you can rest in long enough for Jesus to reach out and pull you to shore. That's what I want them to be.
Wow, so good.
Some days you're ready to run a marathon.
Other days, you struggle just to get your shoes on.
For those days, make sure you get connected to help you shift your perspective.
Shift your perspective.
Download the MyBridge Radio app.
Press play.
Simple.
Darren, one of the things that we do every year on MyBridge Radio is we have a spiritual focus that we really encourage our listeners to kind of participate with, encourage each other on to love and good deeds in the Lord, go deeper in our relationships with Him. And this year we're talking about the 1% difference. Mm. And, you know, 1% of your day is about 15 minutes. And so we're really encouraging people. What if you spent 1% of your day in intentional time with Jesus, pursuing your relationship with Him? Just 1% of your day could make all the difference. Kind of thinking back on your not just when you came to know Jesus, but as you've grown in Him, when did regular time spent with Jesus kick in, and what difference did it make in your life?
Yeah, I think it was pretty quick early on when I realized He was who He said He was. Mm. I mean, that was through preaching and watching my girlfriend and transformation and all of those things. I started to read. I remember in those early years, like, I could not eat enough of the Bible. You know, the Jewish people talk about parsha or portion. They treat the scriptures as food that is nourishing. And that's the way I ate it. I ate it every day, for breakfast, for lunch, and for dinner. And then it's funny, as time goes on, just like, you know, in any romantic relationship, you start to drift a wee bit and you take things for granted. And so I would say that the hardest part of my walk as a Christian artist or musician is consistently reading the Word of God. It's amazing how it is the first thing to be sacrificed on the altar of ministry is your personal devotion to Jesus. And He warns us about this in Scripture constantly. I'm not preaching to you from a point of spiritual superiority. I'm preaching from a point of knowing that I'm the biggest beggar in every room I walk into. Mm. For many of the last 4 of the last 6 years, I've been malnourished scripturally, biblically, not because of other people, not because of podcasts or preachers, or I've been malnourished because I chose not to eat the Word. And so I'm back eating. Mm. And I think it's what's reinvigorated me. You see, you cannot know Jesus if you don't know the Word. Mm. Like, if someone gave me a book that told me everything about that wife of mine inside the house right now, you know, I would be a fool not to read it and not to know it and understand it. Mm. And unfortunately, nobody has that book. But I do have one about Jesus. Mm. And so, yeah, I think that personal devotion, prayer has been easier for me. I think prayer is something every day I have a rhythm of praying to Jesus. But that getting into the Word, you cannot replace it. Mm. That's where the substance is. That's where the truth is. That's a good question, because it convicts me again today. A man who goes through a day without being convicted is living a fantasy. And I don't want a fantasy. I want a real life.
Yeah, it's so good. So good. Well, brother, thank you so much for your time today. And love who you are. Love your spirit. I've done lots of interviews, but like, I just want to hug you, man. Yeah, I'm a hugger anyway, but like, as a brother, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, going, this is my brother. We just met, but sure, man, we're kindred spirits and love who Jesus is in you. Thank you for your time today.
Mate, you have one of the most tender spirits I've ever seen on any man. Mm. And that is a beautiful thing. The good thing is we are brothers, and I'm a hugger too. So we'll sort that out when I see you. But it's funny how God uses men. Like, I have over here by my woodshed, right? Uh-huh. I got this big old axe, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So, once I hang up, I'm going to chop some wood for the fire. God has used me like an axe man for many years, you know? But I have realized that, yeah, strong men should carry an axe and a hatchet or a big stick, right? Mm. But decent men unlock doors with kindness and the joy of the Lord. Mm. And that's what you have in spades. I'm learning. It's just taking me a bit more time. Yeah, all right.
I appreciate that, brother.
We know your time is valuable, so we're grateful you chose to spend some of it listening to Morning Conversation, the podcast. If God used this content to bless you, we'd love to have you share it with a friend. Also, when you click subscribe or follow, not only will our next episode be delivered to your podcast app, you'll help raise awareness so others can more easily find this podcast. For more conversations like this, along with songs of hope and stories of God at work, we invite you to listen to MyBridge Radio. Hear it on the MyBridge Radio app or listen online at mybridgeradio.net.